Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another special COVID-19 edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. This would probably be episode 2 of the COVID sessions. I'm here with the man that you all know and love, Rod Morrow from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Rod, how the hell are you?
What's going on, playboy?
trying to be out of the pandemic as much as I can, man. Trying to be out of the way of it.
Yeah, just washing my hands, not touching my face, and going out as little as possible. You know, this could be our new life for the next 18 months. But I was born for this. Okay, this is how I prefer to live my life beforehand. So hopefully I'll make it through unscathed.
This is what everybody's saying. Everybody's saying that they're social outcast. I know how you are because you talk about it on your show all the time, and it just seems like a majority of my comedian friends and colleagues are just the same way, apparently. And I know I'm like that too, but this is our Olympics,
I guess. Yeah, haven't we had enough of everybody as is, you know? Time to shut this thing down, reset. You know, maybe I'll feel differently after a few weeks of being stir crazy.
Yeah.
But for right now, I feel pretty much in my groove, you know. Anytime I really need to get out of the house or something, I just, you know, go to the store and make sure they still have no toilet paper and paper towels, and then I'll just come back home.
Did you get caught up in that toilet paper hysteria?
Nah, I already had some before all this happened, so yeah. I just didn't even think to, like, go looking for it. I didn't realize it was going to get so crazy. The Publix I went to has none left.
And, damn.
I guess there's quite a few places with none, but I think I got enough to last me a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Just general, not by design. I just happened to have enough rolls at the time, so I figured we can wait this thing out and see if the great toilet paper shortage of 2020 will start to subside here.
Some of the funniest shit I've seen, and I talked about this a little earlier on one of my episodes whenever I posted it, but there was you know how I know you're not a huge sneakerhead, but you know when you get those like limited edition Travis Scott Jordans where they'll say got 'em, you know. Somebody had a picture of a meme, a picture of hand sanitizer and toilet paper like that. It's just really funny to me. It's just I think that's, to me, that's what's kind of keeping us alive. And D.L. Hughley had to have a post of Instagram picture of like, hey, black people laugh at stuff. We laugh at our pain, and we've been doing that for hundreds of years, so don't get freaked out. But that's what people do. How are you holding up? Are you feeling like, do you have this thing? I know you can be reclusive like me, even though you're a public figure, but you kind of like, you like your space. How is that? I know we just joked about it, but how are you really feeling as much as you want to let on to us?
I mean, I feel fine. You know, Karen's working from home now. She's actually in here, but not on the headphones and stuff.
Hi,
but
Karen.
She's working from home.
I give her my best.
And so it's kind of, you know, been pretty cool. I mean, I already was working from home. So,
right.
That kind of, it's not really been much of an adjustment for me. And then weirdly, like right before this all happened, maybe for about a month, I had twisted my ankle at the Y, so I couldn't really play ball. So I had really just been in the house, you know, letting my ankle heal. And so I don't know. It's like I was already kind of doing this. And then the only time I was really going out was just errands and stuff, you know, to stay sane. You got to go out and do some errands or something like that, maybe talk to a person or two. But, you know, I've just been kind of chilling. And so mentally I feel pretty fine, you know. And
yeah,
I got a bunch of stuff that now I'm watching, like streaming a bunch of shows and stuff that I had fallen behind on. So just trying to make a positive out of it.
Yeah, thank God we have electricity, you know.
Yeah,
because it could be worse. Just like the natural disasters like hurricanes and earthquakes and things like that have been less manageable than that's when I think I have a little more anxiety. But as long as you can see these pictures of these really hot women on Instagram, that makes me feel like we're going to get through it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like also, man, I was thinking, like, what were people doing before they had telecommunications, right? Like, mm-hmm. Or you can just, like, hit up somebody's, you know, Twitter or whatever. Like, what would we have done if there was no way for this, the information that this is going around the world to hit America until the disease hit America? You know, like, mm-hmm. It could have been even worse. You know, even now when the president, like, tells a lie, you got all this, you know, conflicting information online. Like, what would the time have been like if, you know, if the only person we had to listen to was the president and, you know, we were getting everything through snail mail and shit, everybody be dead.
Yeah, man. Every time, you know, I guess we can just get into this now, but just every time I see him on television, it's just like, why did they let this happen? I can't believe it's almost like I can't believe it. And then it's like I'm just kind of like immune. I don't know. I'm trying to think of the word right now. But when people complain on social media about the president, and it's just like, I can't believe this. Well, I can, because you.
Yeah, it's wild because it was the obvious risk that people were taking, mm-hmm. putting this man in charge of the country, was that, you know, something could happen and the results of it would be us sitting around going, uh-oh, this dummy's in charge.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's the cost of black competence, right? It's
yeah.
President Obama being so great at being president that a lot of people wrongly assume that, well, that's just because the job's easy and anyone can do it. And clearly they were wrong.
Right. And I hate to be that guy. I hate to keep saying it's racism, but it is. And it's just like, it becomes depressing because I've been saying this for about 2 weeks on the show. Every time I see Hillary, that I've watched her Hulu documentary, this was the choice. It was right in front of us. It was right in front of us, and I did what I was supposed to do. A lot of the people, I think, that listen to us collectively, I think they did the right thing. And mm-hmm. for years, we've had to do this. I felt like you said this, you kind of brought a light to it. I was like, oh, yeah, we've always tried to make the pragmatic choices when it comes to voting. We didn't have to want to fuck the person that we're voting for. We didn't have to want to hang out with the guy. This person didn't have to be a saint. It's just like, oh, this guy looks like he can do the job. This woman looks like she can do the job. So I'll vote for that person. I think this person has my best interest. You know what I mean? It just seems like,
in a weird way, we also are paying on the left and the progressive side for the excellence of Obama, mm-hmm. right? Like, people got used to that shit real easy, you know? And then they were just like, why didn't he make the impossible possible right away without any help? You know, why didn't he just, like, walk into Congress and tell everybody, walk into the Oval Office and tell everybody, we're doing things my way now, and I expect everyone to just do whatever I say. You know, that's kind of how people... without saying it, that's really what they expected, you know? And there was a lot of people who really weren't very educated on how the government works and not very interested in learning, by the way, who were like, listen, Obama's going to take care of everything and get it done, and that's the end of it. And I think that backlash of him not being able to do that and then him facing probably the most pushback ever for a president, I think it really messed with people, and it became blame the black guy, and it still is that to a large extent. And
right.
I think that's why you see people, you know, so up in arms, like, well, fuck it then, just let Trump have it, or, you know, so you face that excellence and how well he still handled all those pressures without ever lashing out for 8 years. And still to this day, still not lashing out. You know, if he wanted to give his Denzel at the end of Training Day speech, I mean, he's deserved that by now. You know, to be able to say you motherfuckers ain't shit. But yeah, it's interesting because those people kind of started having some unreasonable expectations of the presidency and the country. And then I think that made it harder for Hillary Clinton because she's walking behind this man who was excellent and at the same time for many people not good enough. Mm-hmm. And she was not really considered better than him for a lot of people. So they were like, I'm just not interested in this at all. I don't care what the stakes are. And so you end up with a guy like Trump in office. You know, you end up with Bernie Sanders having a small following that's very passionate, you know, mm-hmm. because of this stuff. But at the end of the day, you know, I think, like you said, black people, we've always been faced with these decisions and had to pick the most the best option that we could. Yeah. And I think we really still do that and we'll still be on that. And maybe now that people have experienced Trump and the ineptitude of how he ran this office and what it's gotten us, maybe some people will be more motivated to hit the polls this year.
And I think that's a great answer. But what I'm also afraid of, there's people that I respect on social media that are now talking, since Bernie's not going to win, oh, they might not show up to vote, but anybody but Trump. Anybody but Trump, you're telling me, after in early November, anybody but Trump of 2016, anybody but him next time, but you're not going to support the candidate against him? But what's that going to do? What's that going to do?
Yeah, vote blue no matter who, mm-hmm. all that shit. Yeah, it's interesting though, right? Because I think those people, they need a little time. If the ones that will come around, not all of them are going to come around, obviously, but they need some time. Like it hurts, you know, when your candidate doesn't make it. Mine was Elizabeth Warren.
Same.
And, you know, I think being a seasoned Twitter person and just kind of understanding my platform a little bit more, I didn't tweet out anything or say anything on the show too harsh. But I know I was feeling dejected and I felt like, you know, man, fuck y'all, because clearly this is the best candidate and, you know, y'all weren't feeling her at all. And, you know, we would have been lucky to get her, you know, is how I was feeling. But at the same time, I just didn't say those things because mm-hmm. I knew they weren't helpful. And at the end of the day, I was willing to vote for whoever came out of it, you know, at the time. So, I just didn't say anything like that. But those, specifically those Bernie people have always courted that sort of, you know, we're anarchists. We won't even vote. And it's become really a cult of one man and one man's politics, mm-hmm. In a way that's just scary. And I think it's so scary because they've clearly been infiltrated by like Russian bots and stuff like that. And it should tell you a lot about that candidate and his support online if you can't tell the difference between a bot and a real person, you know?
Yeah.
Some of these are real people and I'm like, damn, you sound just like, you know, somebody's programming you from motherfucking Russia, you know what I'm saying? So, I do think, all jokes aside, that they need some time, you know, for the ones that are willing to come around. Because for each vocal, like, asshole that's like, oh, this is, you know, Trump's more to the left than Bernie and shit. For those people, that those sycophants, you have to, like, let them just yell into the abyss and and whatever, because they love when you give them attention. They love when you argue with them. They love when you act like they have some pull over the electorate. But this is I've just been looking at the math the whole time. And if the math looks promising right now, because you have Trump who, you know, is keeping his popularity from last time, which is still 3 million voters short of Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. But then you also have white voters transitioning over to Joe Biden in a way that they didn't in 2016 for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And then you also have turnout being up. And this is despite voter suppression. This is despite the coronavirus. And turnout being up for the Democrats in this election is a good sign. So I'm not saying it's just like, you know, everybody give like it's, we got it in the bag. Like, I'm not saying that, but I think Trump's not helping himself. And I think the numbers, if you just look at the numbers do bode well for Democrats to take back the presidency and possibly some of these states' positions, too.
But, Rod, Trump's going to send us some money.
Yeah, I don't know how many people are being swayed by that for real. Like, I don't know. Like, this is one of the reasons, like, this is one of the problems I have with a lot of, like, Twitter and Facebook and the woke people and shit.
Yeah.
They do these. They really get off on doom and gloom.
They really do. Yes, they do.
They will make shit seem like a much bigger problem than it is, and then when it comes to pass, everyone's like the sky didn't fall, and then it makes people take shit less seriously. And I wish people would stop wasting their time with that stuff. And I think a lot of their a lot of it's just disasterbation and
yes.
People sitting all day ruminating on the worst possible case scenario, because a lot of times that's what gets the most attraction on social media. But I've taken so many people's opinions with a grain of salt because, you know, they're telling you like 80% of, you know, everyone's going to die from coronavirus or whatever. And like, I mean, maybe that's what will happen. But what if it doesn't happen, I feel like you've now painted a scenario where Trump gets to take a win from something that he obviously fucked up. Like, you know, like now he gets to be like, well, y'all said everyone was going to get it and die. So, you know, that's not what happened. Only this many people died and I did a good job, you know, and I think people need to stop with that shit. And so another example of this was Bloomberg when he was in the Democratic primary. Everyone was like, all these people, Bloomberg, don't be fooled by these ass black people. He not going to. He's really a Republican in disguise. And I was like, why are y'all worried about this? Black people are not going to vote for him.
And I didn't
you think you're the only.
Go ahead.
Google, you know, it's like, but people were talking like that a lot before Super Tuesday. Big, I'm talking every article on my Facebook page just about was just someone sharing another. You know, Bloomberg once said this. Bloomberg once did that. Bloomberg did this. And I'm like, I understand that this dude is trash. But I want you to understand that when we go vote down here, we're not just going to be like, I saw an ad on TV. Fuck everything. Fuck all. Like, we're stupid. Black people ain't stupid. So, you know, when he pulled in, like, I think it was like 10% at most in any of these states, it was like, yeah, he's not a threat. And so, anyway, that's what I think about when it comes to this giving money thing.
Yeah.
Is everyone's like, oh, he's going to give money and then people just going to vote for him. I'm like, I don't know that it's going to be as simple as that. I think there's a lot of people who are going to still be like, I don't give a fuck that you gave me money. I'm stuck in my house because you didn't fucking handle this problem the way it was supposed to be handled.
And they think we're dumb. Like the Southern blacks, they think that, oh, it's the old black people that are voting for Biden. I don't
right.
That's racist. And then you're talking about another group of people. You're blaming those people. I was like, why would I vote for?
You know what's scary is that not even scary, but what's ironic? Black people in every state have broken for Biden in places where it's measurable enough to measure the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a Southern thing.
That's what they're trying to say. Yeah,
right.
That's what they're trying to say. I know it's not.
Yeah, so you got like Minnesota and fucking like, you know, what else was it? Like Washington, Minneapolis, California, you got these other places, Missouri, where it's like all of a sudden it's like is everybody Southern and black? Then let's talk about this. Every demographic is breaking for Biden and the Democratic primaries, except for like I think the youth vote is Bernie is barely winning just the youth vote over and losing every other measurable demographic. White working class people, they've moved over from him to Biden. So, you know, this whole thing that it's like quote unquote black people's fault, like it's not really our fault, but we are just, you know, just like anyone else. we are out here being like, no, this is the pragmatic choice. And the reason that we're picking someone pragmatic is because Hillary, honestly, was the most liberal candidate that has been put forth in a presidential election so far.
But she didn't. She didn't. Rod, she had these emails, and she didn't smile enough. So I mean,
that's true. She was true. She was yelling at people. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, you don't have you had white people choose not to vote for her.
Yep.
You know, and then you had some black people that stayed home, and I know a lot of black people don't like to take any credit in her loss, but then, well, no, they don't want any blame for her loss, but then they take credit for her loss, which is a weird internet thing that happens all the time where people don't want any of the blame when it's negative, but they will take credit for it. So, right. So they'll be like, well, because she wasn't good enough for black people, that's why she lost. And you're like, oh, so you're saying black people stay home and that was the reason she lost. You can't blame black people for that. So, you know, it's that weird thing. But to me, it's like, what really happened was that white people, especially white women, did not particularly appreciate a woman running and possibly becoming the first white woman president. And they didn't like that shit.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why you got Biden, because people was like, well, then fuck it. Y'all will do it for a man, and they will go vote for a man. Watch.
Yeah. Yeah, they will. I just didn't. It just seems like now it's a time where a candidate has to check all these boxes that are so hard to check. I don't get it. Like, they have to meet every single bit of your criteria. Just it's impossible. And just to see,
I think it's an online thing. I don't think it's a real life thing as much, because, you know, online, we all get to be the star of our own feed, man. We all get to be like, I want, you know, fucking the exact perfect meal from a candidate. I want them to know it by just looking at me, what to feed me. And, you know, in real life, it's like people understand that you get some of the things you want and some you don't, and you push for the things you want. But at the end of the day, it's better to have someone closer to you and your point of view in the office than to not.
What do you think about all the Warren talk after she dropped out? Because I don't feel like there was enough when she was in the race. Even when she ethered Bloomberg, I think that's the only part time where people really started at least talking about her online. I did not mention her that much on the pod. I'm not a political guru, but she was my choice. But it just seems like it became, after she dropped out, it was this influx of everyone saying, oh, Elizabeth Warren, y'all should have blah, blah, blah. And there were certain people that were, I heard people shitting on her. There are people, well, obviously they were on the side of Bernie. But did you find some of this Elizabeth Warren talk post her dropping out? Did you find some of that disingenuous?
I mean, yeah. Same thing for Kamala Harris, though.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot of... see, the thing is, man, if you're not a white man in America, the shit people say about you sticks to you.
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, true. Yeah.
So, like, people turned around and they complain, like, why are the only two candidates left white men? And I'm like, because historically, those are the only people that can tough out shit like this. You know? Honestly, if Buttigieg has stayed in, he still would be contending. Like, he wouldn't be winning, obviously.
Yeah.
But he'd be splitting that vote enough for Bernie to be winning. Like, basically, if you're a straight white dude in America with a little name recognition, man, like, people overlook a lot of things, you know? And Bernie's been able to benefit from that. That's what he benefited from against Hillary Clinton. You know, it's why people that support him will make an excuse for him voting for the 94 crime bill, while they will tar and feather her for even campaigning or stomping for it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have this weird type of thing, and Biden essentially has tapped into it in a way that even Bernie Sanders can't shake, and, you know, hopefully Trump won't be able to shake.
Right.
You know, he's basically just looked at America and said, "Hey guys, I'm a white man. Isn't it time we start taking it, you know, we get back serious as a country, and and go back to a white man that doesn't make you feel, you know, too scared. And that's essentially his whole fucking campaign. And that's why he's winning, dude. And because there's nothing he's done in this race that has been better than the other candidates, in my opinion. Other than he's the one who will not insult Obama, and people slept on that. They listened to those Twitter niggas too much and found out that it works the opposite of what they say. We don't want people running around campaigning on how much Obama was and shit. That's just a Twitter thing. So, other than that, you know, he's basically just white man through this shit, man. People, yo, you stumbling, you can barely talk. I'm a white man, guys. Calm down. Everybody's like, yeah, he is a white man. Calm down.
Yeah. And people are still voting for him, black and white, and the other colors too. And it's almost
like, white.
And it's,
they know white people will vote for him. So what's the mystery here? You know what I mean? Like, white people are vote for him. So why even beat around the bush and be like, well, you know, guys, I have some issues with his policy. No, you don't. Like, white people who make the decision ultimately won't have an issue with any of this shit. So just get them up there.
And I just feel like, even if I like Biden, I would vote for him. My primary isn't until June, but I would think that he would put a good staff together. It would be better than the one we've got. I honestly think he would have a good administration.
He's already said that he's going to have a woman VP, and are expecting it'll be a black woman. I think he may even have said black woman. So, I mean, look, it is what it is. And unfortunately for young people, they don't vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I feel bad for, you know, and I understand all those arguments, you know, you hear where people are like, you know, let's look at these young people. They're the ones that got to deal with the outcome of this election, and they don't want Biden, they want Bernie, blah blah blah. And I'm like, I feel you, but their turnout is lower than it was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for them, he needed them to turn out to be a threat. So we can't make the whole election about these motherfuckers that ain't coming. Like, you know, like, well, we need in November, we got to get the young people on board. It's like, do we really though? Because they don't show up. So let's say Biden takes his whole campaign and focuses on young people. What happens when they let him down in November and we all lose because we betted on some niggas that ain't leaving their house? Like,
right.
It is what it is, man. I hate that it's that way. But, you know, even the thing I'll give Sanders, I think people just haven't really understood, is he pushed the party left enough. Like, even Biden, the most quote-unquote centrist candidate of the ones that could contend, by the way,
right?
But because you could argue Pete Buttigieg was more centrist than Biden.
He's just not he just doesn't have any charisma, and black people don't like him.
Yeah, and he didn't have any policies. He did a lot of like talking about things, but not. He didn't have to give any exact numbers and shit, because low-key he knew he wasn't going to win. But even with this, with Biden's proposals and stuff, they're much more left than they would have been without Bernie in the race. So, you know, to a certain extent, you have to give him credit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's one of those things where it just every time I think about it, I get really frustrated, because it's almost like, and I don't talk about it, I'm not that vocal about it online, but it's just like, you guys should have voted for Hillary. And we did, collectively as a country, we set ourselves back. And I get tired of white people retweeting stuff that Trump said that they can't believe he said this. Fuck you. Fuck you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I can't believe he. Well, I can. I can. I can believe it because he said it.
Yeah, they have a whole different set of priorities than us, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't remember how long ago it was I said this, but it's like white people really feel like the money of the country belongs to them, and that America belongs to them. in a way that I just don't think black people fundamentally will ever believe. You know, our experience has just been too oppressed in America for us to feel like we really belong to this country, and that this country belongs to us. So
you're right.
You know, when you hear white people get mad, they get mad about shit like their tax dollars going to a certain place.
Mm-hmm.
You don't hear black people make that complaint much. You know, that my tax dollars pay for this thing. Like, the black people are like, and what would that change?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What does that mean?
Who the fuck is FICA, nigga? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We're not sitting around, you know, like, even the thing where they get mad at millionaires and billionaires and want their money and stuff like that. I'm not saying these are wrong necessarily impulses to because wages are stagnant for, you know, the lower 50% of the population. So I definitely understand the anger, but then the form that it takes is like, and that's why we hate rich people and we expect them to give their money to us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something weird about it where it doesn't really feel like, it doesn't feel like people are saying, I would like to live in this utopia where we all have the same amount of money.
Yeah.
And we all pursue our dreams and do whatever. There's this weird thing that feels like, and not, like I said, I can't say for sure, but it feels more like, fuck those people having money, I should have the money.
Right.
And that is, so it's not a true, like, I should have the money so we can be equal. It's like, I should have the money so I can be doing better than I want a new car. Fuck you, motherfucker. I want a new car. Why you get to have 17 new cars? And I'm like, I totally understand that, but it seems like it's not really coming from a place of societal good. It seems like it's coming from a place of envy and jealousy and shit. Which, fine. I mean, that shit gets shit done. So if you jealous us into a utopia, I'm good with it. But I don't know. It's still something about it feels disingenuous. And I think what's bothering me the most is that the mostly white people who are saying all this shit don't really treat black people that well and don't right. really want to. And whenever those things come up, they then switch to this, like, it's the economy, man. It's not racism. It's not sexism. Mm-hmm. It's not homophobia. You know, these are identity politics. Why y'all got to bring up all this shit? You know, just get behind Bernie Sanders and we'll get the utopia and things will be better for you. So just shut up.
Shut up, you fucking nigger. It's going to be better.
Right. Right. It doesn't feel right, man. It just doesn't. The core of it doesn't feel right. And that's why they keep losing, man, because the Democratic primary is the one place where you can't pull that shit over on black people. You got to get us on board. And if you keep telling us your issues aren't that important, it's the economy and just stop bringing this shit up. This is what's going to happen every time.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny that you mentioned this, and this is where I want to shift the conversation, because, and getting back to the coronavirus. Now, things kind of, it's really when it started hitting hard, we really been at it for, it's really been a week when it started to get serious for us, for everybody. Because when Tom Hanks got that shit, it was like, oh, fuck. And then, because, like, right after, I remember being in the dressing room of this show that was on Broadway, and I'm in the dressing mm-hmm. room, and someone's like, "Oh, Tom Hanks has corona," and I went on Twitter. I was like, "Oh shit!" And I said, "Well, he in Australia," and then they were like, "The NBA got canceled." I was like, "Oh, nigga, that's it." So next, it's us next, and is it me? Now, I feel, because that's why you're my voice of reason. So how do I want to say this? Tom Hanks became the face because he's a celebrity. And we're like, oh, my God, Tom Hanks. And I, like everybody else, I was like, oh, fuck, protect this guy. Not just because of that beard that makes him look like Thurgood Marshall's cousin or nephew. not because way before that. Now, you know, he's been a part of our lives for a long time. I was like, oh, Lord have mercy, not this guy. But when Idris got it, or let's say like Rudy got it, and then Devon Mitchell, what's his name? Mitchell, Spider-Man?
Yeah, Devon Mitchell.
Devon Mitchell got it. Idris got it. Why are all these celebrities fucking getting this shit quicker? Why are they getting cured first? Why are they getting diagnosed? These fucking famous people. Part of me feels the black celebrities are getting these. NBA guys are getting it. KD's got it. They're getting tested quicker than the regular people. Part of me is like, I think everybody should get tested. We should, you know, check this out. Then part of me feels like, well, because of this society, because of who we have in office, celebrities are better than us, Rod. And if we can't get tested, it's our fault. Our jump shot should have been better in elementary school. We should have spent more time in the gym. We should have tried to look hotter than we are, because that, I think that's why we're not getting the help. That's why we're not getting diagnosed. Can you
maybe? I mean, I think we just didn't have enough tests, and that is the fault of, you know, Donald Trump. Like, they had more than enough warning to start getting prepared for this. They knew it was coming. They chose the, you know, what, 2 weeks ago he was calling it a hoax. So when you don't have a very serious government response, this is what happens. And in a capitalist society, the people with the most money and are the ones that can get the connections to get their test. You know, like, people keep being like, how, why are these NBA teams getting, you know, tested? I'm like, I mean, don't they have direct connections to China? Like, you know, thing y'all wanted them to burn down last year because of a tweet that Daryl Morey deleted. Y'all wanted them to sever that entire relationship. Like, nah, man, I think you got a lot of people that also have platforms, and unfortunately, because our celebrity worship culture, we'll listen when it happens to Tom Hanks. We won't listen when it happens to the guy up the street. You know, you still see dumbass people like the governor of Florida saying he won't shut the beaches down.
Right.
You know, you still see people saying, I'm going clubbing. I'm going to spring break. I'm going to, you know, so this is a country that kind of needed some celebrities to be like, hey, this shit is real. You know, Idris isn't even really one of ours. I mean, he's over there and we still was like, oh, this is getting real. Like, people were saying dumb shit like black people couldn't get it until Rudy, Idris and Devin Mitchell and shit. So, you know, KD and stuff. So, like, you kind of need these examples. The last thing I'll say, too, is a lot of these celebrities, it makes sense for them to be tested because who touches the most people?
Yeah.
You know, like the chances of them infecting other people or having, you know, been on in situations where tons of people could have been infected is pretty high compared to, you know, your average person. I'm not saying every person, but, you know, after your medical professionals and stuff, you know, you kind of got this. And as far as people with symptoms not being able to get tested, like I said, that's on Trump. They bungled that shit out the gate. So to me, it kind of makes sense. I mean, it's obviously not ideal, but we don't have enough tests, so it's not going to be ideal for a long, long time.
Yeah, and it seems like more black celebrities are getting it than the white celebrities.
Yeah, I don't even know.
No, I'm just saying like the big ones. I'm not, you know how I am. I'm not smart, but it just, I'm just seeing what's on the,
I'm not even sure which celebrities got it now, to be honest. I'm scared this shit gonna get a hold of like some legends, man, like Cicely Tyson or somebody like that. Like, we need to get this shit under control, man.
Yeah, because even Drake was hanging out with KD, so he self-quarantined himself, you know. You know Drake be around whoever is hot, so he's got to.
And if it's around Drake, that means it's around every championship team of the last 5 years.
I just noticed that people were kind of getting mad when certain black celebrities were getting it, but you know, I don't know. I'm gonna self check myself and just say I don't think it's racist. I just think
it's that thing where there's so many jokes and stuff I've had and wanted to say that I just haven't, because people really be believing this shit. You know, the girl from the ATL orgy, that woman was going around talking about how it's not really a virus and it's all in people's heads and it's not gonna happen, and she had to call off her ATL orgy this year because of the bad. She's like, when people are nervous and stuff, it's just bad, you know. And so I just, that's the only reason I'm not doing it. Not because I believe in this quote unquote virus. And then she went to South Africa on vacation, a country that has closed its borders to foreigners. But it was like stuff like that is the parts that scare me, is the people that just think that their freedom to almost be suicidal with they think that that is freedom to them. To like, the most American thing you can do is be reckless. And that's really scary.
Yeah, it is. It's really bad. I think we'll get through it. It'll be a few weeks, I'm hoping. And I just think we do worship celebrities, and that's how it is. And they are, in a lot of ways, our betters. Collectively, that's how we see it.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, Matt Barnes can get a shape up. I'm watching The Jump because he's a celebrity. You know, and they can be on TV and kick it. And I like them. Be on TV.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's the thing. I didn't really grow up worshiping celebrities, and I didn't really grow up. And so I think as an adult, I haven't grown into like this weird hate of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I had jealousy and hatred of people for being more famous or being lucky or being talented. And I don't know. I don't know why people, I think it's maybe like a rejection, like, you know, this idea like that there was a personal connection to these people. And I'm so glad to not have been part of that delusion to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And to be able to only, like, I only take the fun shit out of it, you know? So like if Beyonce puts out Homecoming, I can be like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. Oh my God, she's so amazing. But then like if Beyonce didn't give any money to charity to fight coronavirus, I won't be sitting around like, and I'm so disappointed. Open letter to Beyonce. How you let me and many fans down. Like, I would never do that because it just seems crazy to me. But
yeah,
there's so many people that really don't think that's crazy.
I think for me, it's kind of been like where you, like, as I've gotten old, my parents were my heroes, Rod. And I think that we've talked about that before. And I think the older you get, if you had good parents in your life, you know, with their flaws now, I'm not saying that shit was perfect because there's some fucking darkness there. But overall, it's like, oh, this person, it's like your parents are like superheroes when you're a kid if they're decent. And then you grow up, you're like, fuck you, dad. Fuck you, mom. And then you get to be older, like our age that we are now. And you look at, that was just a guy. And he did all this stuff for me. That's amazing. And it's like, you kind of have more respect for them. And so when I see some of these celebrities, like, especially like athletes, where it's like, you had to deal with all that shit and you managed to play basketball. Fuck, dude. That's awesome, Matt Barnes. That's incredible. You know, Stack. What's my man's name? Steven Jackson. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you just, I just have this fondness and appreciation of them where it's like, you're dealing with all this shit and you got to go out and play basketball and you made this fucking music that I connect to and that makes me like want to get up and go to work or makes me able to do it or makes me feel makes me feel good about myself. But you were dealing with this bullshit and you have a fucking superpower? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think also, like, say, like, with a person like that, I can't really be too disappointed on their opinions on, like, super woke topics.
Right, right.
I do have a certain level of, like, well, this motherfucker really was lucky to be alive long enough to get to where they are now.
Yeah.
It's not saying that I don't want them to get there or get better or whatever, but I just recognize it took me time to learn certain concepts and to glom onto them and to understand them. And it's weird because I thought for a while I had gotten myself in a place where my social circle online was a lot of people who were kind of almost like intolerant towards people who couldn't or hadn't gained all the knowledge to get to where they were, you know?
And yeah.
it really made me like distance myself from certain people and rethink my entire social media habits, because, you know, that's not me. You know, like I've been able to kick it with people that I feel like, well, you know, they could get better on this, or, you know, maybe they need to think about this topic, and they'll kind of come to a different conclusion with enough time, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's more realistic to me. You know, in my circles, I feel like I've always been a little bit of the one that's the hippie, you know,
yeah.
The liberal, the whatever. Before people use terms like liberal and progressive and shit, like I always felt like I was a little bit on that, like, kind of out of bounds to a certain extent. And, you know, and I had to learn to stand in that, you know, to be
right.
Like, nah, this is what I believe. I'm not trying to necessarily mock you for it, but yeah, what I believe is valid and it's grounded in some real shit. And, you know, I'm not going to be peer pressured out of it. But at the same time, I didn't sign up to become the bully either.
Right.
So where I find a circle of people that agree with me, and now we're bullying everybody into peer pressure into believe what we want them to believe, you know, because that's not real. That's not authentic with the way that things go. So, like, I didn't want to create these fake illusions and all that stuff. All that stuff to say, I treat celebrities the same fucking way. So, like, I don't expect Jay-Z to be an intersectional feminist at 50 years old when he's just now first started dropping his, like, more, you know, personal work a year or two ago. Like, that, like,
yeah.
That's crazy to me that a guy like that comes that far in his life to be like, yo, listen, I went to therapy. My mom's gay, and this is what this means for me. And I feel ashamed that she couldn't come out, and that she felt she couldn't tell me, like, what kind of life was I living as a son that she felt she needed to keep that secret. You know, stuff like this that we've never heard him say before. And then I looked at the response, and you know, half the people was out there like, man, fuck him. This ain't nothing. Like, what about me and my life? It's been different. It's so I think that's the thing that people are putting on celebrities, like this. Why aren't you a reflection of me and my values? And that's
right.
To me, that's a dumbass way to listen to anybody.
Yeah, it's like, well, you and I have had this conversation on the show like a few times, but it's just always good to bring back up, because it just goes in cycles, like Vanessa Hudgens and Carrie Hilson. And it's just kind of like, I saw somebody like admonish, it was stupid as fuck what she said, but like, it was just like, I was like, she's hot. Okay. And she sings and she dances and she's entertaining to a lot of people. That was stupid as shit what she said, but you know, all right. I just said,
right.
You know, she's innocent. She's trying to buy Disney+. That's how I deal with some of this shit.
You know what's funny is that it's kind of like, because I think this is where I lose certain black people and shit, but I kind of am the same way with racist shit. Like,
yeah.
For example, like a white kid puts on fucking blackface and takes a TikTok video or whatever, and, you know, people are like, you know, we need to dox that person. They need to be kicked out of school. They need to lose their job or whatever. And I'm like, I said, I won't jump in front of the bullet to save them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do kind of feel like that was a really dumb thing to do. It's very ignorant. I'm not saying no social cost should be paid, but this idea that, like, this is some unprecedented wrong that,
right,
like,
yeah,
we need to get the, like, government tribunal together and shit. I'm like, to me, I'm like, that was really stupid, and I'm going to move on with my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if that person goes on to have a career or something, it won't bother me. You know, Justine Sacco, you remember her, the woman that got on the plane?
Oh, yeah, yeah, the Africa AIDS thing? Yeah.
She ended up getting, like, another job later and shit, and it's like, of course.
Yeah, she good.
Like, what did people think happened? She would just be homeless and destitute the rest of her life? Like, no, the heat will die down. She'll get back into her social circle and she'll fucking get a job. And I don't know. I feel like, in a weird way, I'm just kind of okay with stuff like that. You
mm-hmm.
know, I think people waste a lot of rage and opportunity for progress on stupid shit like that. Imagine if we lost Ralph Northam over that fucking blackface thing.
Yeah.
Virginia would be fucked up right now. Like, this nigga ain't doing nothing but passing, like, woke ass legislation daily over there. So, like,
right.
You know, I think people should be a little more see the bigger picture if they can, if they're afforded the chance to. And I say all that, of course, understanding and being empathetic with the fact that when you mad, fuck the bigger picture, right? I totally get it, but
yeah,
I'm not to let my anger and my emotions be used for shit like that in the short term. That's really not productive.
Yeah, yeah, I think I operate the same way. It's like, oh, that's fucked up, and if it's a celebrity, I'll always side eye him a little bit. But like Matt Damon, I don't know that he's racist, but that what he did with that black producer on Project Greenlight is just like, nigga, you know, I just look at him like, right, you know,
right, like because that's a ignorant white man that really did not know any better. being learning in front of everybody.
Yeah.
That's really what happened.
Right.
And it's this weird thing. We treat everybody like we want them to know. Like, we're doing this to educate you. We're doing this to make you a better person.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not that. It's this impulse to, like, punish and to be like, fuck you forever. I don't ever want to see you do anything else again. You're banished forever. And I reject that only because we all make mistakes, and I think we shouldn't treat each other like that, and we definitely shouldn't treat ourselves like that. So I just don't know that for the societal good, if that's a positive thing to always constantly have this reaction. And then also, I just think a lot of our energy is just being depleted and used for just bad things. You know, when we constantly are rushing to the next fire to be upset or to complain.
Right. Right. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I think we just have to kind of have to slow down and be measured about what we say and how we react to other people. I mean, but I think it's always going to get overblown and on social media, and we kind of live there. You know, we kind of, some of our livelihoods attached to that. But at the same time, it's, 'cause you think of something so big on Twitter and you talk to somebody that's not connected to social media at all. And it's like, really? That's a thing? I didn't. All right. You know, and they don't. It's like a big, like I was thinking about one of my closest friends, like where he's just not attached to social media at all. And it's almost like he's woke, but he's not an asshole about it. But he's still way more woke than me. Not on the border of, he's leans towards hotepery a little bit, but not. But he's not. What do you call that? I don't know what you call that.
Between hotel and not hotel? I don't know.
He's a moderate. Hotel? I don't know.
The moderate hotel.
he could kind of get you. You'd be like, oh, shit. You know when you have a friend, you ever have one of those black friends that you respect and you like them, mm-hmm. and they're great people. And then it gets, it's like, well, dude, you have to have some white people in your life. I don't know.
Yeah, I call those shadowing actors.
God, and see, I don't want to give him that, though. Because it's not, okay. He doesn't give a fuck about black shit. Not, you know, about he doesn't care about black movies. He's just like, I don't care. I don't, that shit, no.
Wait, so then, that's not Hotep at all. That's okay. Like the opposite of Hotep.
So what is that? What Hotep is that? What is that when you're a regular black person? It's like, you don't.
Like the black people that almost don't see race type people?
No, it's just like, it's like, you know, you and I could be excited about Us. And we're like, oh, I can't mm-hmm. wait to go see Us. And he's like, and then you tell him, like, yeah, I get it. You know, my daughter's walking. I'm kind of concerned about my wife and my daughter and my job, doing my business. And some of this is kind of, it's still, a lot of this stuff is still bullshit. But I get why people like it, but he'll still go see.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think I know any black people like that. Like, all the black people I know either get excited about black shit, and then occasionally you had a hotel people that are like super conspiratorial about black shit.
Yeah.
But, you know,
maybe this is an off mic conversation, but I love this guy. But it's like I respect him for not giving a fuck about like. Some of the, like, I think he's a good guy. He's a good dad and all this stuff. But it's like some of the stuff I give a fuck about in pop culture. He's like, well, I don't care about Jay-Z.
Yeah, I think that's healthy.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, how the fuck do you do that? You know what I mean? Like, it's some of those qualities in a person where it's just like, well, how do you do that? Because I want some of that, but I don't want it all. I don't want all of it.
I always feel a little bored by people that don't keep up with pop culture at all.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you can't talk to them about a TV show or some shit because it's like, I don't watch any TV. You're like, damn, like... What do you want to talk about? Like, how you got to work? Like, I don't want to talk about that shit.
Yeah. Like, he and I will talk about music and stuff. That's one thing we like, text about and stuff. But whatever. But I don't know. Why did I even get on that? I was trying to... What the fuck was it that I want to talk about? I was trying to work on a bit about that. I don't know. Whatever the fuck, dude. On a lighter note, Rod, how are you feeling? What's the vibe like in Charlotte with regards to Cam Newton, and what do you think?
What do you think is
going to happen?
I mean, I appreciate us getting rid of a black quarterback, obviously.
Wow.
It's just too much stress rooting for those guys. You know?
but we did it this year, baby. We got a Super Bowl.
Yeah, kind of.
Three.
Right?
Like, three. No. It used to be a time where there was one drop, Rod. One drop.
You watch The Shop?
No, the newest one?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is on there.
Oh, he's on it?
Yeah.
Okay, what am I not going to like him anymore if I...
No, he didn't say anything worth canceling. Well, in my opinion, he didn't say anything worth canceling. Who knows what these other canceling people think. But he said some shit like he didn't realize how important it was to be a black quarterback until the game where he played against the kid from Baltimore.
Yeah. Well, you know what though? See,
he's kind of like your homie, right? Your boy that's like,
he's not like that. Like, he's like, yo, like, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm not doing a great job of describing my friend. He's like, yeah, you know, we don't do Christmas. You know, that's my, you know, I don't. He's like, kind of like that. He's just like, he's black. He's like into like African, like, yo, I'm black. I love being black. I don't know, dude. But Patrick, what is that? Is that Generation Z? What is he, 24, 25?
I don't know. I don't keep up with that stuff.
He's young, dude.
Whoever's arguing with boomers right now is whatever he is, right?
I guess. He's super young, so that answer doesn't really surprise me. He's like, I didn't know it was that important.
I hear you. I'm just saying, though, Chris.
And he
I'm
could be saying. Given, and in his defense, he could be giving you the Doug Williams answer where it's like, I'm a quarterback that happens to be black. I'm not trying to make a big deal out of this. But, like,
You didn't see the clip, so I'm just telling you what I saw.
Okay. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it today.
I know you want to defend him. I know you want to defend him. And I want you to understand something. I'm not attacking him.
I know.
I completely understand. I'm just saying.
It kind of felt like it, though.
Part of the reason... part of the reason that he was so successful is because he didn't realize how big a deal this was.
Mm.
Right? Like, it just wasn't even in his head at all.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah. So, I mean, he's like, I realize it's a big deal, basically... The week before the fucking Super Bowl, I was like, oh, shit. Like, people give a fuck. Oh, this is some different shit. Like, Doug Williams and all these people are doing this, like, 30-minute, like, intro to the NFC Championship. He's like, oh, this is huge, you know?
Mahalia Jackson songs in the background. Like, you didn't know, dude?
Keep your head to the sky. Like, it was just, like, Sounds of Blackness is playing. Like, so my point is, like, he didn't do it for black people.
No, he didn't.
It never really crossed his mind to do it for black people until the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's why it kind of, but my point is, not for the player, but for us as fans. It's fucking stressful, man.
I know, I
like,
love
it. It's super stressful having a black quarterback, man. I've had one when I was an Eagles fan. I had one, three different times. I had Cunningham. Shit, actually four. One of them was Rodney Peete.
Yeah.
Cunningham, I had Rodney P, I had McNabb, and then I had Vic. And the extra pressure of that being a black guy and then having to like defend him and explain this shit and watch like white people's racism slowly creep in, that the worst kind of racism, that the kind where they don't call him a nigger, but they might as well be, you know, that mm-hmm. kind.
Yeah.
I hate that shit. It's too stressful and it takes the fun out of watching the game when they're on your team. I don't mind just in general talking mm-hmm. about it, but I'm just kind of done arguing with these motherfuckers over black quarterbacks, man. It's exhausting, and they'll always move the bar no matter what we do, man. So I don't know.
But see, you guys are getting Teddy Bridgewater, and when we become victorious, I feel like Dwayne Wade telling that Kobe Bryant story when he broke his nose. I love it. I love it.
Well, that's the thing. So that's why I said it's kind of a good thing, because we got rid of one black quarterback, and you know Cam was kind of he's entering that point where if we make any more commitments to him and the injuries he's experienced and shit, I don't know how much longer he's gonna last, and I don't know how much longer he's gonna be elite. Hopefully, he goes somewhere else and proves that he is elite still.
I wonder where could he go. What's some landing spots for him? Do you think? Redskins?
I haven't kept up that much with free agency. Denver just got rid of their quarterback, mm-hmm. Joe Flacco, I believe.
Yep.
Maybe the Redskins, because they have his old coach.
Yeah.
Who else? I mean, because he's got a big deal. So I don't know money-wise what that means, because money in the NFL is weird, where they just, like, restructure your deal and shit and move the fuck on. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know, bro. To be honest, I don't know where he goes. And I like Teddy Bridgewater.
I do too.
And they got a 3 deal. It's like $63 million supposedly. So yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah, you know, obviously I'll be rooting for them. He's a pocket guy. Do you guys have receivers?
Not really. Devin Funches maybe, but not really. And the tight end left, Greg Olsen. He was old.
Yeah, he was old.
Teddy ain't really walked. He ain't really walking into the Saints locker room, man. So yeah. We'll see. Maybe they can draft somebody.
That's what somebody was saying, that there's a good wide receiver class in the draft this year. So I'm hoping. Like, I mean, I called him Dwayne Hopkins, but it's DeAndre. The podcast I posted today, which we're recording on the 19th of March, but like I said, it was Dwayne instead of DeAndre. I look at, you know, Deshaun, who is he going to throw to now? So they got to get a good draft class. So I don't know. But I think.
I don't know, man.
Go ahead.
I haven't really been keeping up with all that, with all the, like, what the roster moves are, really.
Yeah.
But I do think wherever Cam goes, I hope he plays good, man.
Me too.
I think he kind of got a weird, kind of unfair shot here. I think he never really had talent around him.
Right.
For the most part. I mean, he obviously wasn't the most accurate guy, but before he got hurt, his accuracy was the best it had ever been. And you know, he was about to make some noise, man. And
yeah,
he bought into that. You know, if you can breathe, you can play bullshit. And that's what fucked him up.
Yeah, I just wish he could. I wish they would have held on to Steve Smith a couple years longer. They should have let him retire there. They at least had a deep threat.
Word on the street was that Steve Smith ain't really like Cam. Like him and Cam ain't get along. So you got to pick one.
Okay,
it ain't gonna be Steve in that situation.
Well, that solves that. I like to think if I was one of those dudes, I would have let my ego slide.
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to think if I was one of those guys.
If I was Kobe and Shaq, I guess I could have figured it out, right? But that's the reason we ain't them.
That's why we're not them, and that's why we're lesser, you know?
Yep.
What about Tom Brady? Now, this can he still get the ball down the field? Like, everybody's sizing this thing like it's the I'm not going to say it.
According to Bo Monty, no. You know, like, Bo is the most, like, biggest detractor I've really seen of him.
Yeah.
In the media, you know, Bo really be knowing his shit. So, I mean, Bo say the motherfucker can't throw down the field. I mean, chances are he's right, you know.
Yeah. And I think that's where I got it from, too.
Say that again.
That's where I got it from, too. It's like, can he get the ball down the field? Because then you watch him. He's picking people apart, you know, when he won recent, you know, when the recent times that he's won the Super Bowl, but they can't seem to stop that. But they claim that he has all these weapons. What's your take?
The thing I will say is this. The reason they play the game is because we don't know what the fuck gonna happen. You know what I mean? Like, that's the whole point is. There wouldn't be a betting line in the Super Bowl if we all fucking knew the score before we came in. So, I don't know. You know, like, yeah. I can see it working. We saw that shit work with Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo got to the Super Bowl. That's not a good quarterback. So, I mean, it's possible to get there.
Yeah.
And I would argue Tom Brady is better than a lot of sorry-ass quarterbacks. You know,
that's true.
The shit where people are suddenly being like, Ryan Tannehill better than him. Like, y'all was saying Ryan Tannehill was the worst quarterback in the league and shouldn't even be in the fucking NFL until a year ago. So we don't fucking know. You know, like, he got way more talent than he had in New England in the wide receiver positions, but I also don't know shit about that offensive line.
Yeah.
I heard the defense is good, but I don't know. I watched some of them games. Like, they ain't scare me watching them play. Like, we'll see what happens with all that shit.
Yeah, it's like you better have somebody to block for that man. And I feel the same way about, like, Phillip Rivers. Like, who you got to block for this guy? One thing that nobody's talking about Jameis getting that LASIK, young. Ain't nobody talking about it. Now, I know the 30 for 30, you want to make fun of him. People want to do that. Some people, like, those interceptions, wasn't all his fault. I seen, you know, people bobble catches and the defensive back, you know, grabs it. He got that LASIK, young.
Yeah.
So I think somebody could pick him up. It's no reason he shouldn't be on nobody's bench. Somebody said today that maybe the Steelers could take him.
Somebody will pick him up, man. I mean, you know, it's Jake. So. Yeah. I can't see him not getting picked up, so I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I hope so. And it's still early.
There's a lot of decisions to be made. I mean, look, it's not like he took a knee, you know?
Yeah, that's true. Like,
somebody'll make room for him on a roster somewhere.
I'm not gonna get into what I want to say because I don't edit the podcast that much, and I had to edit something today. Oh man. So I think there's going to be a landing spot. So let's close with what you're watching. What are you watching to pass the time during the pandemic?
Man. So I watched Hunters on Amazon last week.
Okay. How was that?
I thought it was pretty good, you know. I'm not Jewish, so I can't speak to the way they use, like, the Holocaust flashbacks and stuff. So I'm sure there's people that are pissed about that. Because, you know, there's always someone pissed about that kind of shit. But
for
me, it served the purpose of the story and made a lot of good sense. And I enjoyed it. It was different than what I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. I thought it was really going to be more, like, action-y.
Yeah.
And instead, it turned out to be more like, I don't know, it's like a team of people that are ordinary people kind of teaming up to take on these Nazis and the back and forth between the crews.
Right. Okay.
But I did enjoy it. You know, we'll see where they take it in future seasons, but I'll watch it if they do more.
Cool.
Let's see. I watched, The Dragon Prince, which is a cartoon animated joint on Netflix.
All right.
I watched all three seasons of that, in about maybe 3 or 4 days. It was amazing. It's by the same people that made Avatar. If you guys haven't watched that,
oh, okay.
You should check that out. Avatar is probably, oh man, It might be the best animated show I've ever seen, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, I like honestly just can't think of something better than that. It's honestly an amazing show that just sucks you right into the like the world that it takes place in. And Dragon Prince is very similar. And then I started watching the fourth season of Mr. Robot today. I'm about halfway through that. I don't know. It feels like that show is always different. Like every season that show is just like it's like a different fucking show than the season it was before. I don't know, man. I can never tell if it's just like pretentious and I'm liking it because it's pretentious, or I think it's good because I don't understand everything that's happening, or if it's actually just really good. I can't tell the difference. So I'm gonna finish it because it's the final season. Better Call Saul, I'm watching.
Yeah, I know we used to do recaps. What do you think of that so far? Are you caught
Better
up?
Better Call Saul?
Yeah,
I'm all caught up. I love it. I mean, you were right. I think I said it to on the show the other day. I was like, I'm so glad I listened to you because I wasn't gonna watch that shit. Because I was just like, I fucking know what happens. Like, what's the point of a show where you know who lives and who dies before you even fucking watch the show? You know what I mean? But you were right, man. And they're just doing such a great job. The acting and the stuff with Kim.
Oh, my God.
Good.
Yeah. Do you have any predictions for her?
Not really. I mean, I don't watch shows with that in mind for the most part. So I know that's how most people watch shows. It's just kind of like, I want to see if a prediction comes true, but I've never really watched shows like that. Even with Game of Thrones and stuff, I stumble into predictions where I'm like, oh, this is what they're setting this up for. But, you know, in this case, I it's not giving me any particular vibe. I do want to know why she's not around later.
See, that's what I want to know. Like, cause that's the thing. That's what she's very good. I think it's Rae Seahorn is her name. And I think she's terrific. So it's just like, well, what's going to happen? Cause if it's not Jimmy, he's finagling things still for her. So if next season is the last season, what is it going to be? Cause you can't just be like, what's going to be the final straw? Is it going to be Jimmy? Is it going to be somebody? She going to die? Like, I don't want her to die, but I think it's Kim more than Nacho that I have these feelings for. But now the more of these like deep dives that I do into YouTube, I'm starting to really like Nacho more than I was before. And having like his connection to his dad, where it's going to be like, okay, now what's going to happen to this dude, you know? And then obviously Gene, you know, the Jimmy being at Cinnabon in, what is it, Nebraska somewhere? I forget.
Somewhere.
Yeah, you know, in the middle of nowhere. So it's stuff that's really compelling, but I'm not going to speak in hyperbole and go back to, it's better than Breaking Bad. I'm not going to do that. I just think it's a very good standalone show. But yeah, that's a great show. I love, that's the one of the few that I try to watch like when it, like the day that it comes out or the day after.
What's my man, Bob Odenkirk? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just such a great, talented actor, man. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that dude since that's the show, Mr. Show.
Yeah, yeah.
With Bob, I loved him since then, but I had no idea he could be such a great dramatic actor.
Yeah.
And he just fucking murders that role, man. So that's a huge part of it me is just watching him act, man. And he's just surrounded by such great actors, and the show is just cast so well that, you know, you just fall in love with all these characters, man. Even the bit character, like, what's my man's name? Is it like Lala or Lulu or whatever? The brother of Hector.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That dude, like, just, you know, it's like a character he's not even in every episode, and sometimes he's in an episode for just a few minutes, and it's just like, yo, this dude's a great character, you know. Mm-hmm. obviously Gus is a great character.
Yeah.
Mike. So it's just such a great show. I really fucks with it. And I'm also watching Curb too.
Okay.
Which the finale is next week. But that's just another great show, man.
I got to get you back on and we'll do a Patreon like recap of Saul or something. Cause I think you're the only person that I know that really watches it. I think maybe you and maybe a couple of, I think maybe my dad, maybe somebody else, but it's not real. People aren't really talking about it. I guess people in my circle aren't, but I think it's great.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like when it first came out, everyone was talking about it for a little bit. And then I don't think people stopped watching necessarily. It's just,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's just so good. People are like, there's nothing really to say. We'll see you next week.
I think Leonard Brothers does too, but I try to avoid his tweets on Mondays when he's, because he live tweets. I'm like, I don't want to see it. But
yeah,
but it's like a handful of people that watch it. But yeah, man, so that's good. Curb, I gotta get it. I know everybody talks about it. I've seen a couple seasons and I liked it, but I just never like stuck with it.
Yeah, Curb is for me. It's just one of those shows that highest of high praise. It makes me laugh out loud.
Okay,
like consistently every week. I don't know how, because it's like this old, it's this very old timey Jewish sensibilities to the comedy, but god damn, it's just so fucking funny, man. Like,
yeah,
they like, and then the casting, like to get certain comedic actors in it, and then the like once you get past the awkwardness of the comedy, because the whole thing that makes it funny is that it's awkward, right?
Yeah,
it's saying something in a situation where most people would let the shit go. And then doubling down on that feeling, every couple of lines, it goes back to like, and this is now more awkward than it was. And normally that kind of comedy doesn't do it for me, but man, it's like it hit a switch or something in my brain where like, once that switch hit, I was just like, oh, this is the shit. Like nobody else is doing it like this. To me, it's like Seinfeld on fucking like cocaine, you know? It's so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. I got to get back into it. Like that's an HBO show that I need to get into again. And I need to get into, what's the funeral show? Oh, fuck.
Oh, 6 Feet Under?
6 Feet Under and The Leftovers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of shit that I feel like
I'm. Yeah, those are so dramatic. I mean, HBO is so great at drama, but man, like I'll be checking out on some of their drama sometimes.
I didn't care for The Outsider that much. Did you watch that?
Well, which one? The Outsider?
Yeah.
It was good until the end, I thought. And I thought the ending didn't pay off.
Yeah, I was just like, really great actors in it, though.
That's what I was going to say. I think what I like most was Cynthia Erivo and the dude that's the main character.
Yeah, yeah.
That was it. I mean, not that the other people were bad, but like their scenes to me were the ones where I was paying attention.
Yeah.
And then, you know, other people have scenes. I'm like, I guess. And then also, like, to me, it didn't really pay off because the creature wasn't like, I thought the creature was just going to be like a bigger threat than the way it died. Like when it died, I was just kind of like, this is some bullshit.
And then do you get tired of the dead kids?
Well, you never get tired of dead kids, Chris. I mean, what kind of question is that?
I would fucking love to be in a drama where I'm a detective to kill this kid. I'm going to find him. But I'm a troubled cop. Oh, my God. Fucking hell. Like, I'm an alcoholic or some shit.
I think after True Detective,
it
makes it feel like it's some like it's some old, like, blase blah shit, like, oh, here we go with the dead kids. But
yeah,
I don't know. To me, it didn't really. I mean, it's not that I got tired of it. It's just as a motivation for it. I understood why I was killing dead, why I was killing kids.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I see what it's doing here. But yeah, I don't know, man. I just wish the creature would have been more of a fucking like. Problem. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't a real the whole fucking struggle of the series was like, will we believe this creature exists? It wasn't, well, what the fuck are we gonna do to stop this creature? It was, well, if we believe it exists, then we can figure out how to kill it in one fucking episode. Now, I didn't like that.
Yeah, it's just like, and then I just learned that term last year, fridging, where you kill somebody's like kid or their girlfriend or their wife, and then the guy's on a rampage and all that shit. But I would love to be in a fridging movie. So, you know, I'm a flawed cop and I'm trying to save the day to redeem myself.
Yeah, I feel like now when I watch stuff, I always see these parts where I'm like, man, I wish Chris was in this part, you know?
Hey, man, from your lips to God's ears, buddy.
Yeah. So there's so much content now, man.
Yeah.
Like, when the coronavirus stops and people go back to filming, you know. but I can get to ask you about that, man. How did you feel about coronavirus coming through, like, in the middle of your big Broadway debut and stuff, man?
Oh, I'm sick about it, dude. Like those checks were pretty nice. Like, it's like the check where it's like, this helps me become a regular member of society. I'm busting my ass at my day job. And you do comedy gigs here and there, so that's gonna be fucking. I gotta get a comedy nerd. It would be nice to get Roy Wood back on, but if you've read any of Roy Wood's articles about comedy, do that. But it sucks. It's really fucking sucks, and it's like it's something where it's a thing of prestige where it's like you can never take away the fact that I wasn't in a Broadway show if it comes back. Now, we're scheduled to come back at a certain time, but I'm hoping that happens. But it sucks, dude. Like, when you're thinking of, like, financially, you're thinking about shit that you can do and bills that you can take care of. Like, the practicality of it sucks. Then you think about, okay, I still have a day job and I can still make rent and everything, pay my bills, but it's people that were banking on that don't have anything. And it's people that are stage managers. I think they can file for unemployment and stuff like that. But I have other friends around the country that are in the union and Actors Equity that are performers. Their stuff got cut short. There's a play that I saw the weekend of my birthday. They were supposed to run for about 4 or 5 weeks. It got cut in half. So it's devastating. It's devastating. Like, the economy, the producers will be, I think they'll be okay. But these actors and stuff, man, I would say that I'm fortunate, more fortunate than some of my brethren, my brothers and sisters in the game. But it's really fucked up. It's really sad.
Yeah, we really don't know, like, when it's going to be over.
Right.
And once it's over, when things can resume. You know, we've been going to NBA games for the first time ever really this year.
Yeah.
And, like, we had a half-season, like, ticket thing, and, like, I don't know what's going to happen to the rest of those games. And it was, like, literally that Saturday we were supposed to see, like, the Lakers.
Oh, shit.
We were supposed to see the Clippers. The Clippers were, like, 2 days before that. We saw the last game we did see in person was James Harden and the Rockets. So, it's like, I don't know what the fuck supposed to do.
Yeah, it's everybody is affected by this. Like, I keep saying, I'm saying it in every episode now, but it's just like, if you haven't gotten infected, or you might know somebody, or your livelihood has been affected by it, and it's just really, we've never experienced anything like this. You know, the oldest people that I have direct contact with on a daily basis, my parents, who are pushing 80, it's like, you know, they've never experienced anything like this. You know, I was telling somebody, my dad was born in 1941. Pearl Harbor happened 8 months after his birthday, 7 to 8 months after his birth, after he was born. You know, that's a national tragedy, but there's no, like, you know, 9/11. But that's like, you couldn't talk to people. You know, obviously people that were killed in the actual event. But really, you know, it was these isolated things, but this is everywhere, dude. It's fucked up. And that's why I say, like, you got to thank these people that are working at the grocery store, the medical professionals, and the Instagram models, because they're doing the Lord's work. And
Yep.
You know,
I mean, honestly, dude, the people that work at the store, like, they're on the front lines of this. And, you know, some of these same motherfuckers are just, you know, arguing about how they shouldn't be paid $15 or any living wage. And you need to pull themselves up their foot bootstraps and shit. Like, you know, society is down to, you know, these are some of the most important people in our society, you know, handling your food and shit. And you still got people out there talking crazy to them.
It's like, why don't you want those people to be happier at work? Why don't you want them to feel more comfortable at their jobs? I don't get it. Now, I did order Pizza Hut. I know the Twitter elite will not like this, but I had a coupon for points off of pizza. This was Friday, and I overtipped the guy. You know what I mean? He was like, "Oh, thanks." I was like, I always ask him, I was like, "Did you get your tip and everything?" He's like, "Oh, yes, I got it. Thank you so much." And I was like, "No." It was corny as fuck, but it was like, "No, thank you.
Thank you.
Cause,
for your service."
Yeah. And that Andy Klein kind of has a story about that too. But, you know, it's just bad on everybody, man. And the people that do that are doing the quote unquote grunt work. I mean, those are the people, like you said, at the front lines. And why don't you want to pay them? They have all this money, and Amazon is trying to, well, they own Whole Foods too. But they're like, you know, hey, why don't you trade the people that got sick days? Why don't you give them some of yours? And it's like, fuck you. But then also thanks, because I could order some shit to send to my parents. You know? Fuck, man. It's we're all wrapped up in this fucking nightmare of capitalism and consumerism. We're all passengers on that fucking Wally spaceship thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
This is how it happens. Y'all stuck in the house. We all become roly polies like the Wally world, and that's it. We have to move off the earth.
And we know, and we participate. And I'm not trying to say that I'm better than anybody, because it's something that we all participate in. But that doesn't mean you can't comment on it. That doesn't mean you can't be nice to these people. It's like I said it before, and I'll sound like a fucking broken record. It's not surprising to me. We talked about what's in office in Washington, the type of administration we have, but it makes me feel uncomfortable that a small business owner, this guy that runs a pizza shop in New York City, has more gravitas than our president. Like, I'll tell, like, since more people probably listen to this because you're on, There's a restaurant in the city that makes Chicago style pizza called Emmett's, and it's really good pizza. Now, you can say, I don't give a fuck about the New York versus Chicago shit. Pizza is pizza. It's different. I think they're both fucking great. But if you go to this guy's Instagram TV and he's breaking it down, it's like, this is what we're going to do. We're going to stay open. We're going to deliver. We're going to try to keep our workers working. We're going to try to find a way to fund these people. You know, people had to lay off. People got laid off like a snap like that. Their jobs got Thanos'd. Like, it's fucking crazy, man. And I feel like 2016 might be just as bad as 9/11. We're gonna get to the point where we see the after effects to be like, there's probably already more people dead. You know, I'm not saying, I feel like an asshole for saying it, but.
There definitely is. I mean, look, this is a decision that people felt comfortable with, or enough people felt comfortable with, that we ended up here.
Did we cheddar bobbed ourselves?
Yep.
Fuck,
we got,
man,
a little too comfortable with Obama, and thinking that was the new normal, and you couldn't just repeal all this shit and take it right back. And. Who's power surprise, motherfuckers?
Isn't this, like, I just keep coming back to this. And when people criticize Obama, they want to talk about drones. I don't like people families getting blown up. You know that when you're in that office, your hands are going to get dirty. I don't know why anybody would really want that job, but that's always the fucking go-to. You know what I mean? Like, that's always the go-to when they talk about Obama And but then
that's the thing, though. How many of those conversations have you seen or had in real life?
I hear it on podcasts, people that I respect and admire. Right. I hear
that.
Saying,
like, you don't really see a lot of these, like, in-person conversations. Like, there's not a lot of them. It's,
yeah.
There's this very weird online world. Like, even those people on those podcasts, if you look at their online presence, you'll see that that's kind of like their, what they're telling you is, these are my social peers. These are the talking points that me and my friends sit around talking about is shit like this.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what's really happening. You know, I'm not saying it's invalid or anything, but I don't know that there's a lot of people. There's just the people who talk like that a lot. So, I don't know that Obama is considered this terrible president by anyone publicly in vast numbers, except for, you know, Republicans and shit. But, you know, even people that are like liberal or left leaning, for the most part, have like this reasoned stance. Or, like, he was good. Would I have liked him to be better? Or they say something like, no president's perfect, or you can't take that office without blah, blah, blah. I understand those people because that's just the truth. But, you know, this shit where it's like he was somehow singularly the worst nigga ever, and at the same time, we can risk the whole country being in Trump's hands. Those motherfuckers are not a lot. That's a very few and far between.
Yeah. Maybe it's like what we were talking about with the whole Bernie thing, and just, it's just like, it's just frustrating because it always comes back to that. Because I found myself the last 3 years saying, well, you guys, certain people could have voted for Hillary. And then we wouldn't be, it could probably be bad. Like, I think we'd still have a pandemic, but it probably wouldn't be this bad. I don't think Hillary would say, oh, it's a hoax. I think she'd say, let's try to get this stuff in order. So when it does happen, we can, you know, we can cut it off at the throat, at the neck, at the top, and then it wouldn't be as bad. But I just think that it just always comes back to that. I think that's the common denominator in anything wrong with this country right now.
Because it's not like if a different president was in office, there wouldn't be this disease, possibly. It's just more like the way it would be handled and trying to get ahead of it would be different. You wouldn't have a person in the office telling people it's not a big deal, it's just the flu, and you know, it's a hoax. And then 2 weeks later being like, it's the China virus, and China lied to us. Like, it's such, you know, it's just such bullshit.
Kung flu and all that shit. And then how you have, you have people say, hey, it's racist when people say, yeah, it is. Because it is racist.
His entire point is to be racist.
Yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, Asian people, you got hit on this one too.
Yeah. You, like,
other people are getting hit now. Used to be just us. Other motherfuckers now, like, you got to realize, I mean, this is on some Patrice O'Neal shit, but it's like, you want our top oppressed spot, but you ain't going to get it.
Right.
You going to get hit by some of this shrapnel too. So you want a part of this, you want a piece of this pie. I'm welcome. I think you should have it too, but you going to get some of this schism too. You're not going to get this, this Americana or this quest for this pursuit of whiteness. You can't just, you know, reach up and get it without getting hit by some of this shrapnel. Damn, that sounds good.
I always feel like, you know, bigotry is like a river.
Yeah.
You know? Like it all flows from the same place. And everyone gonna get wet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, so this thing where people buy into certain, you know, like, I hate to hear black people that buy into homophobia and shit, because I'm like, people that hate gay people, guess what else they hate?
You.
You know? Like, it's not like they gonna stop at one and be like, whoa, 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 those niggers, now that's different, okay?
Yeah.
No, they hate the gay people and they use slurs for them, and then when the black people aren't around, they use slurs for us. And you know, you got to be careful trying to be down with any of this shit.
But, yeah.
You know, people can't see it, man. Like, hate and anger and shit, it really does make people not see all the shit that's happening.
Right. It's just like, and I know sometimes, and I don't feel like we're in an echo chamber. I feel like we know what's going on in the world. I mean, you know, but it just, I just noticed that. Go ahead.
I'm in an echo chamber. I say that, but I choose to be like, I'm not oblivious to the fact that I'm in somewhat of an echo chamber. You know, like, I think the problem comes when you start believing your echo chamber is the world.
That's very, I agree.
Like, I feel like, yeah, one, because I've definitely picked my people and been like, I don't want to be around a motherfucker that every day is telling me, you know, how much they love Trump. Like, I know you exist, buddy, and you don't get to be around me.
Right.
But I would say I'm in one, but I just understand that when I walk out this house, half of this country voted for this motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, you and I can have that. I know us having this discourse is like, you know, parsing things out, and we kind of have different, sometimes we may have different paths to get to the same mountaintop, but I think that what we would agree on is just like, motherfuckers didn't vote for Hillary, and that's one of the reasons why things are the way it is. And it's just, I don't know, man. I just feel really, and then where you have other people of color that sometimes look down on us as Black Americans in that mm-hmm. pursuit of whiteness, they look down on us, and I'm like, yo, you're getting hit with this stuff too, and now because you're getting affected, you're not better. We're the same. And that's why I can empathize with you. And when I hear the Kung Flu shit, when I hear this Chinese shit, I roll my eyes. I know it's bullshit because I know what they've done to us. So you have to find find these coping mechanisms just as much as we do. And that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the shit that gets that's the shit that gets these people shot. You know, we got King Martin Luther King.
I mean, that's how fucked up anti-blackness is, man, and white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we start buying into the myths about other people,
yep,
and aiding in white supremacy, man. You know, I know, you know, for us as Black people, we definitely see it all the time. Where it's like, damn, this Asian person really does believe that they believe the model minority myth, and they believe mm-hmm. that Black people ain't shit. And, you know, somebody can come from Africa and look at Black American people and say shit like, we don't have culture, and, you know, it's because we don't value family, and that's why we're doing better than you and all this shit, you know, while taking advantage of the progresses that we've made in this country for Black and brown people. But,
yeah,
you know, and then, of course, I've seen Black people participate in this shit, too, you know.
Right, we do,
I've seen Black people, you know, float around the Kung Flu shit, and I've seen Black people make jokes about the, you know, about Asian people's accents and stuff like that. So, it's like it just kind of all flows from the same place, and if you don't cut off in yourself, then you just end up participating in it. But everybody kind of wants to protect their shit, but mm-hmm. then they want to protect the right to be an asshole to everyone else.
Yeah. That's like when I was I had cousins that were 2 years older than me. They were twins, and they were in school, and they're like, wait till you get to fifth grade. You see how that shit is, nigga. And, you know, mm-hmm. like you look down on the underclassmen, or you get to high school. It's just like, wait till you get. I always said, like, when I get to this level, I'm not going to treat people like shit. I'm going to be a peer minister. I'm going to help freshmen. I'm going to try to impart advice if I can, you know, if people will listen. I try to be, I don't know, dude. Like, I'm in the process of always trying to get better and always trying to recalibrate my thoughts. And I don't always say the right thing, but I know I try. I know I'm trying. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's like you said, yeah, maybe we do have echo chambers, but it's like, I know the people that don't make me feel good, I really don't like being around that. And I don't like talking to those people because I don't want to spend. That's some family where it's like, I can't get my mother to wrap her head around that shit. I was like, just because that person is related to you and y'all came out of the same womb, that person does not have the right to treat you bad, and you don't have to fucking talk to that person. And and because they talk to you that way, I don't want to fuck with them.
Yep.
You know, so that's Nick, that's black shit too. That's anybody. So it's like I think that just it's coming with age. Like, I'm fucking 40 now, bro. You know, and I'm just like, you know, I'm trying to be better. And I know who I am. I know I'm black. I can't say that I might date a white girl, but that don't make me less blacker. I might like Katie Holmes. You know what I'm saying? But I love my people. That don't mean don't love no sisters. And that's not true.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I've loved. There's been.
I don't know how white women made it in here, but I hear what you're saying.
But I'm. That's what I'm saying, though, Young. I'm complicated. I'm a complex man, drawn off of simplicity. That's how Common said.
Just because you have a name, username, and password on black.com, don't mean you're not down with Black Lives Matter. And I feel you on that.
That's exactly right. You know, but. I'm just trying to set myself up because I want to get on SNL, and I'm just putting it out there. I want to get on SNL, and if they go back to these podcasts, so when Keenan leaves, they're going to need a chubby guy. I'm going to drop the weight and just be like a chubbier, more adorable. So when that happened, I might be too old. I'm 40 now. I'm not as young as I used to be, but I could contribute, you know? So when they go back to these podcasts, like, you hear me saying, like, right now, I'm flawed. I'm not perfect, but I'm in the pursuit of being a decent guy that you could sell. I'm talented enough, and you can sell some soap during the commercial break. That's all I'm saying.
If SNL ever comes back, man.
SNL comes back, if they start doing these shows again, I could easily be a flawed cop.
Easily.
And help a family find the person that killed their kid. And then I could, you know, I could try to make up with my wife that I fucked over. You know what I'm saying? That shit would be, nigga, I would kill. Boy, man, you come. Yo, like Emmys, all that shit. But you know, but it is what it is, man. I just think I just felt that. I've felt it for so long that sometimes other people of color, like, one time, okay, well, I'll stop talking after this. I remember one time I was at work. I was working in Chicago, and I worked in this office. It's probably like maybe my second corporate job. And I was at work, and I have a coworker that's, I think she's Jewish. I think she was Jewish, and she was dating a Mexican guy. And this Mexican guy was a lawyer. And I met him. I was like, "Oh, how you doing, man?" Shook his hand or whatever. I might have told this story before, but then, like, a couple days later, my coworker, she shouldn't have told me this. She said, "Y'all, you know, my boyfriend said Chris is like a white black guy, the whitest black guy that he's ever met." And I was like, well, first of all, you shouldn't have told me that. That should be between you and him. Second of all, he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. Because I'm at work. And I wasn't like, "Hi, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah." I was like, he's Mexican, and you can't even, his name's Julio. He talks like a white guy. He's a lawyer. But see, you get to this level, he was doing better than me. He was older at the time. But you going to look down on me and try to say I'm something. I think it's something he sees in himself. I didn't do anything but shake the man's hand. How you doing, man? All right. You're the boyfriend of my coworker. Nice to meet you, dude. I'm going to go to the soda machine. But that's what he got off of me. And, you know, like, I was just, I'll never forget it, Rod.
I remember one time a white dude tried to tell me he was blacker than me.
Oh, yeah.
And then the way he defined it was that he had had sex with more black women and he had been to jail, according to his barometer for blackness.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember, like, stuff like that never really hurt my feelings or anything because I always was like, that's absurd.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't, in a weird way, I didn't know until I was older that I kind of grew up in a way that for me is a some level of privilege to never having questioned my blackness, never had anyone that really could question my blackness or make me want to question my own blackness. Never really was rejected in that type of way. So I don't know. I just grew up pretty comfortable about black stuff. And, once I got older, I started meeting more and seeing other black people, especially with the internet.
Yeah.
And just seeing like, oh, there's a lot of different black experiences and people grow up with some head trips around that shit, man.
Yeah, dude.
Howard Bryan's book, Full Dissident, talks about it.
I got to read it.
Oh, yeah. He has a chapter in there about those black kids grow up in these very hostile white situations because their parents dreamed better for them and thought, well, we need to move out to where white people are, take our kid, put them in a white school. And those kids basically end up being black with no home in either community. And I love the way he dissected it and broke it down.
I bring up the Dwayne Wade and Kobe thing, too, because it doesn't hurt me. Part of me is like, I love it. I love it. Because then I get to flex on you. But at the time, I was like 26. I was like, fuck you. I was like, that guy's dumb. You know, she ended up marrying him and having a kid. But, you know, like, it's like that guy doesn't get it. And then sometimes there's moments where, you know, you feel like as a black person, I don't feel like I have to teach white people. But sometimes I love it. And when I get to say when I get to say something, then that will put them. They'll shut the fuck up. But I bring it up because like you, I kind of had this comfort in knowing who I was so much so that it had to get reeled back. It had to get reeled back in order for me to fully participate in society, appreciate other people that are different from me, and know how to operate in whiteness. And so like I just kind of look at it like, yo, that was a point that I remember. It made me angry more than it hurt me. I had a black kid in senior year in high school in African American studies class say, "You're the whitest black guy I know." He could try to tell me I was white because I had the best grades in African American studies. Rod, I don't know how that works in his world, but I don't know. And I don't know, bro. There's one of my favorite comedies of the last 10 years. And then I'll let you, we have to get off. I have to give you, you need to get out of here. This show called Detroiters with, Sam Richardson and Tim Robinson. It was on Comedy Central for two seasons. This is the episode where Sam Richardson, you know, the black guy from, Veep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Real funny dude or whatever. And he's kind of like kind of nerdy black dude or whatever. And he meets this girl that's a hood chick. The girl, this beautiful girl, Gail Bean from, you know, her if you saw her in Snowfall. And she's one of the crackheads in Snowfall. Not the main guy's girl, but the other dude's girl. Really pretty black girl. And she's like a hood chick. And he meets her at a party. And he's trying to be like, yo, for sure, girl, you know what I'm saying? You know, he's trying to pretend to be something he's not, but he's still black. And then she takes him to this party and they start making fun of him. He's like, fuck y'all. This is how I talk. They say he talk like Tavis Smiley and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I would recommend people watch Detroiters. It's fucking funny. But I just say that to say, like, I've just always been comfortable but it's not going to being black, but it's just not going to, it's not going to stop anybody from saying what they think, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because the thing is, when people think like that, it's so ignorant. You know, yeah. Like, the idea of saying what makes someone blacker than me is going to jail.
Right.
It's such a patently insulting thing, and there's no level of reason I can have with a person like that where they'd be like, oh, my God, I get it now. So, you just got to move on from people like that and be like, all right, you're just a dick, and I'm not going to let you affect my life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Rod, I'm going to let you go, bro. This has been fucking great as always, man. You're just like the MVP of this show. And
I appreciate you having me, man. I wasn't doing shit but sitting around the crib anyway. So, always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you hitting me up, man.
Yeah, it's always good bugging you to do my podcast just so I can talk to you.
Hey, whatever, you know.
Yeah. So plug your show and anything else you got going on.
Oh yeah, just check us out. TheBlackGuyWhoTips.com is the website. The Black Guy Who Tips is the iTunes, the Stitcher. You can find the show. It's a comedy show. I know when I talked to Chris, I feel like we're not really trying to be funny. We're just having a conversation. But it's a comedy show, and we float between comedy, political commentary, pop culture, stuff like that on the show. And hopefully if you enjoyed this conversation, you'll come check me and my wife out and listen to our show.
Oh, dude, every time I think of my favorite segment on your show is White People News. And I know you guys shouted me out, like Chris is probably listening, like, I can't believe you don't fucking know who that is. But but I thought about you when every time. So Ben Affleck has this movie, The Way Back, which is probably the best movie I've seen in theaters this year. And it's really good. And like he's been very personal in interviews promoting this movie. And he's like, yeah, you know, I wish I didn't break up with Jennifer Garner, blah, blah, blah. I miss my kids. Can't see him all the time. This nigga is dating Ana de Armas from Knives Out. And I'm just thinking about it. I was like, I think he's found the way back. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I think he's okay. I think, you know, he's like, oh, I think she should give me credit for all the pictures that I'm taking of her on Instagram. And like, I'm not mad at him. I can't hate on him. I can't. Yep. He's living it up, man. White People News. I don't know if you guys covered that yet, but you know.
Yeah, we've been covering them dating. I haven't covered this press tour, but yeah, they've been dating for a while now. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I mean, I don't know why. But you know what? He paid his dues. He went from Garner to Lindsay Shookus. So we can't say that he's just like, you know, trying to rob the cradle. He's not a you know, he's not doing like our boy Leonardo DiCaprio. So, I mean, I got to give him his credit. Maybe he's just in love.
Yeah. And you know what, Rod? I love it.
Good for them.
All right, man. Hold on to the line. Thank you so much, Rod. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you. And stay safe out there. All right.